Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and have ourselves a drink.
All right, and Michaela and Taylor Swift are singing, so we are back in the lobby bar for the week of April the 22nd, 2024. Brian and Michaela here with you again, as always. And Michaela, you know, back a while ago, we had to take a break from movies. You know, there was the strikes going on, so we turned our attention to music. And one of the very first artists we covered there was Taylor Swift. Now, you went on record telling people that you were not a Swiftie, didn't care about Taylor Swift, didn't even like Taylor Swift. No, you didn't go that far, but you said that you were not a Swiftie. And then through the course of the Drink the Music episode, where we talked about Folklore, going to the Eras Tour concert, seeing you buy all of the vinyls, and getting a newest vinyl here just on Friday, I think it's safe to confirm that you are, in fact, a Swiftie. And today was, or this weekend was a pretty big deal for us Swifties.
It was. And I am proudly now. We have the friendship bracelets to prove it.
Yes.
And it was amazing because her latest album came out. It was a double album that was a surprise. The Tortured Poets Department is what it's called. And so it was 30 songs or some craziness. So for anybody who's not a Swiftie, let me break this down for you. She announced that she was putting out this album, and it had something like 15, 16 songs on it. Okay. And everybody knew that this was coming. And then
announced it at the Grammys.
They announced it at the Grammys that she won like her seventh award or some craziness. And
109th
so,
Grammy.
Right. And so we were all excited. Brian and I, we both, you know, special ordered her album. It was like this double white album. It looked really great. But at midnight on Friday morning, what came out was the Tortured Poets Department anthology, which was had another 15 songs in it. So if you didn't get enough Taylor Swift, now you have, now you may still not feel like you have enough, but you have a lot. You have a lot of songs to like pour over and, you know, hang on every word of and dissect and trisect, and it's amazing.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. The Tortured Poets Department came out, you know, just on Friday. It was the 16 tracks there. That was what was announced to the world. And then surprise, surprise, there was the double album just got announced. I think Taylor announced it on her Twitter or something, or a website, I don't know for sure, but the anthology came out then to add to it an additional 15 tracks, bringing the grand total up to 31, which Swifties around the world take to mean that 31, you know, is backwards for 13, which is Taylor's favorite number. Everyone knows that, of course, of course.
Of course.
But yeah, we've been looking forward to this album. I pre-ordered it the night that she announced it, Grammy night, I think you did. After, I do have a bit of a bone to pick. There you ordered yours on Amazon, you know, this this large conglomerate full of you know, all of the good deeds being done there. You got yours on release day on Friday, so congratulations to you. I ordered mine directly from the Taylor Swift merchandise shop off of her website, and it is supposed to get delivered today, so I guess fool me once, Taylor. That's okay. It is well worth it.
Oh, no.
To get that vinyl. And I was able to listen to it on all the internet things, right? Doing quite the damage there in terms of that. But before we get into talking about the album a little bit, so this isn't going to be like a full-blown Drink the Music episode out there, but we did want to talk about it a little bit here, because it's a pretty monumental thing, we thought, and something that we both were getting into. I have a cocktail here, Michaela, and this actually, it came my way. I've talked about it a lot of times. Liquor.com is a website that I like a lot. I get like their daily newsletter and things. And I think it was a couple months back I got something, and it was like, we recreated the cocktail Taylor Swift had at Spago. If you don't know what Spago is, it's a restaurant in Los Angeles. It's Wolfgang Puck's restaurant. It's probably the most famous restaurant in the United States, if I would to say, probably so. It's where all the celebrities go, and apparently you go and get fancy cocktails. But this was an article about the cocktail that she ordered. It was called the Lychee Rosé, and then it went on to break down how to make it. I guess Spago was kind enough to share that recipe with them. So I've been holding onto that in my email for a long time, Michaela, you know, just waiting for the monumental moment that was the release of the Tortured Poets Department to come out. And we made this, and it was pretty good.
It was pretty good. So Brian, I mean, again, you're awesome. You do all the hard work, and one of the things that you had to do was create a salted lychee cordial or lychee. I don't know if we're saying it correct. I don't know who says it right. It's lycheei for those of you that don't know. And if you don't know what that is, it is like a fruit that is Japanese. It has the consistency or the texture of almost a pear, but it's sweet and it's quite lovely. And so you made this salted lychee cordial that goes into this drink. And this is a tequila-based drink, which is very exciting for me because we don't do enough of those, I think.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
it's beautiful, beautiful drink.
Yeah, absolutely. The lychee puree was pretty simple to put together. I did have to do a little bit of legwork to get the ingredients because lychee is not something you come across like too often. You just go into your grocery store, you don't see like a pile of those probably. At least we don't here in our part of the world. So I had to order the lychee puree. They actually say in the article to use a perfect puree, which is purees that are made in California. I think one of Spago's thing is I think everything that they make basically comes from California, I think. Don't take my word there. I've never been, but if you want to get us a reservation and send us out to Spago, we are more than welcome to accommodate that. So basically what you do is you take 3 3/4 of a cup of lychee puree, which you can order online, it's where I got mine, and then 5 ounces of the Gifford lychee lye liqueur. Gifford is a brand that we like a lot. They do a lot of different fruit flavored liqueurs. They're all really high quality. That was really easy to find, actually. I was surprised. They just had it at my local liquor store. So 5 ounces of that, 1 tablespoon of sea salt, and then 1/4 teaspoon of citric acid. You might be able to just find citric acid at your grocery store if it's well stocked, especially like in the like baking or like canning preserving sections. I didn't find that, so I found a conversion chart to just use lemon juice. So I used 1 tablespoon of lemon juice in mine. I threw that into a food processor and just let it whir around for about 5 minutes to really kind of get those flavors incorporated. And then boom, you end up with a salted lychee cordial, which according to this will live in your refrigerator for up to 3 weeks. So there you go, Michaela. We have our cordial. We're ready to put this cocktail together.
All right. So what you're gonna do? You're gonna get a shaker tin. You're going to put some ice in there. You're gonna put 1.5 ounces of a reposado tequila. You're gonna add that to 3/4 of an ounce of this salted lychee cordial. You're gonna add 1/2 ounce of manzanilla sherry, which is like a fino sherry.
Yeah, that's right. I looked for Manzanilla sherry specifically at the wine shop and at the other grocery store. I couldn't find that one specifically, but Manzanilla is just a dry sherry. So that's what we used. We just used a fino or a dry sherry there in place of that. You might be able to find it. I don't know what your sherry selection looks like out there.
Awesome. And then you're going to add 1/2 ounce of any sort of elderflower liqueur like Saint Germain, but that's not the only one that you need to use. As long as it's elderflower, it'll be good. 1/2 ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice. You're going to put all of that in your shaker tin. You are going to shake it until it's nice and cold. You're going to put it in a chilled glass. Now, the glass type here is something that we've both discussed because I want to believe that Taylor's more of a coupe kind of girl. I think she's like very classic. It's very like I don't know, like Gatsby-ish, I feel like. But it's a lot of liquid in there. So, it's going to fill it to the very top if you do that, just so you know. So what we did instead is we put it in like a really nice looking martini glass. And so you put that in there and then and it's already chilled. Garnish it with some edible flower petals. Yours were really pretty. We weren't able to make this together, so we kind of exchanged pictures of what ours look like. And I use like a hibiscus flower, which was really nice. Gave it like a nice rosy hue. But yours were purple, which really added to the lavender haze of it all, if you ask me. It was beautiful.
That's right. Yeah, and we did a lavender cocktail there for Folklore when we talked about that on our Drink the Music episode. If you look at the article, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes down here, there on liquor.com, they actually have a picture of it from Spago, and it's in like a crystal rose shaped glass. Get your hands on one of those. It's probably expensive. Yeah, we just went with like the faux like stemless martini glass, and that was perfect for this drink, I thought. This was really good. Michaela, when I took the first sip of it, you kind of look at it and it's kind of like this golden hue kind of thing. And recently we've been making a lot of things with like pineapple juice. It's, the weather's warming up and things. You look at it and it just looks like some sort of like pineapple-y, like tropical tasting thing. But that's not what this is at all. So your first sip, you're like, ooh, kind of taken aback because it's very different. And I think that leans into Taylor's kind of persona, right? She's got, I think, 11 studio albums plus her Taylor's version of things. And every time one comes out, you kind of hear it and you're like, ooh, this isn't exactly what I was expecting. And then you keep going and it's real delicious.
It is real delicious. I loved, and we talked a little bit about this in our kind of show notes, get prepping for this recording, but I loved the salinity of it. So it's very much a salted lychee or salted lychee. Like it's salty. Not salty in like a chips and salsa kind of salty, but it's adds a really nice layer of kind of developed mouthfeel, as well as just the salinity of it. It's salty in the way that like a salted caramel should be salty enough for you to know that it's there. So many times, I love salted caramel, but so many times it's got like, half or none of the salt in it that you should have, and it's just basically a caramel. And this really, you could feel it, you could taste it. It created this kind of pucker at the end of your palate, not in a putting off way at all. So if you're worried about it being like salty, it's not salty, but it's you definitely taste the salinity. And I loved this drink. I thought it was not only beautiful, but given the ingredients, once you make the cordial, it's pretty easy to put together, and I felt very fancy.
Yeah, it was definitely very fancy. And yeah, this one it hit like all the things. Like, 'cause the lychee is sweet but not too sweet. It's a little bit savory kind of from the tequila and also the, kind of that salt characteristic there. It has just a touch of like sourness from the lime juice. This was really good. I liked it a lot. Michaela, we should expect nothing less, on a recipe coming from Spago. And like I said, it was a little bit of legwork to get the lychee puree and kind of make that, but it was really easy to make once I got the puree. So maybe give this a try if you want to, experience a cocktail that Taylor has had herself at Spago, or if you've ever been to Spago and had one of these, definitely let us know that or any other good cocktail recipes that you are having to celebrate the release of the Tortured Poets Department. Michaela, let's talk about the album here a little bit. Like we said, we were li looking forward to it, which doesn't make us special in any way. The whole entire world was definitely looking forward to this one, but I don't know that people really kind of understood or comprehended the amount that people were looking forward to it. She announces it, people were pre-ordering it, like you and I did. They were pre-downloading it on all of their things to do, and apparently this set all sorts of records. So Apple and Amazon have both said that it set the single day streaming record, and Spotify said that it set their single day streaming record, 300 million streams in the first 24 hours. That's a lot of listens through the Tortured Poets
It's
department.
pretty much everybody that lives in the United States, right? Isn't that in the United States
Yeah.
population like 145 million? So that means everybody
No,
listened to it twice.
it's like 350 million. What are you even
Is it
talking
350
about?
million? I don't know. I don't get, look, I am not a census taker,
No,
okay?
okay.
All right?
Yeah,
I'm
that's
not. But either way, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people, Brian.
It is.
So
It is
that
a lot
means
of
that
people.
everybody in the population, yeah, okay, you're right. 333 million. That means everybody, except for, I don't know, half of Texas decided not to listen to this album. That's a lot worldwide. I mean, that's huge.
That is a lot. That is a lot. 300 million streams in the first 24 hours, which broke the record that was previously held by da-da-da-da-da, Taylor Swift with 185 million Spotify streams that first 24 hours. And that was for the album Midnights, which was the last, I guess, studio album that she's put out. She's put out the Taylor's version of a couple of things since then, 1989 and something. I don't remember. A fake Swiftie right here. And assuming, Michaela, that this goes on to be the number one album on the Billboard charts here in the United States. That list comes out tomorrow. That will be the 14th time she'll have topped the Billboard charts with an album debut, which will tie her with Jay-Z, I believe, at 14. The Beatles hold that record at 19, so Taylor's going to have to get five more albums together. There's at least one more Taylor's version of things to come out, so that's going to be one, and then so four more. I think she'll do it. I think she can do it.
Oh, yeah, she can do anything. She can write a song about Kim Kardashian and have everybody like eat it up like hotcakes. She can do anything.
That's right, absolutely. She can write all sorts of songs, and again, here in Tortured Poets Department, these are all going to be written by her. There are a couple of songs that were just written by her, and then Jack Antonoff and Aaron Dessner are back to serve as co-writers and co-producers on this album, like has been the case for the last several of the albums. We're not going to go through this track by track, Michaela, but it starts with Fortnite, which features Post Malone. That was kind of the single here off of the album, but let me ask you this. Let's stay clear of just going through the individual tracks, I guess. But you listened through this. You've listened through it a couple of times now here over the weekend since Friday, when you got it. What were your kind of takeaways? Any favorite moments, favorite songs, favorite
Yeah,
compositions, things that stood
sure.
out? All the things. Tell me all the
All the
things.
things. So I really, so the first time I listened through it all the way through, I listened to the digital version because I realized that there were, 16 songs missing from my non-digital version. So I was like, I'm going to listen to it all as if it was one record. And I did not like the first half as much as I liked the second half. I felt like as soon as we got to track 17, which is the Black Dog, I was like, oh, this is the Taylor Swift we know and love. And you know why? Because most of those songs on that were extra were either done by Swift herself or Swift and Aaron Dessner. And so it was basically like someone was likening it to the Folklore album and the Midnights album meet on like a coffee date and decide to go into the backwoods and maybe smoke something together. Like they that's really what this album was. And I am much more of a Folklore girl than I am a Midnight girl. That is definitely the case. So I loved the second half. But I will say this. There's a couple of songs that really stood out to me as being different and taking a risk, and they might not be my favorite, but I still think that they were kind of cool. Florida featuring Florence and the Machine, that had some serious beats in it, and I don't know if she's singing that because she hates Florida or loves Florida, but that song is
Who doesn't hate to
really
love
different,
Florida
right?
and love to
And
hate
then
Florida?
I'm hearing a lot of fire around I Can Do It with a Broken Heart. It's kind of got this bebop like doo, 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 inside it, which is very different than a lot of her other stuff. But it talks about how she is able to do all of these things and hide her broken heart so well. And I think that pretty much anybody who's a Swiftie has felt that way once in their lives, where they're like, I'm just gonna get on with it. And so I really think that those two kind of stood out for me. And then there's a couple that are very classic, like tortured poet-ish, right? Like LOML. Is
Sure.
it Love of My Life or Loss of My Life? I don't know. You'll have to
Don't know.
listen and find out. I Hate It Here. I thought that one was really great because that's kind of in the middle of these three like high school songs that reminded me of when I was bullied and no one liked me in high school and I was like in love with someone who would never love me back. That kind of thing. Yeah, those are my hot takes. What about yours, Brian?
Those are your hot takes. Absolutely. Yeah. So we knew a couple of things going into the album. Here we knew that there was, I think we knew that there was going to be a song with Post Malone, but we definitely knew that there was going to be a song with Florence and the Machine. And that was what I was looking forward to kind of the most. I mean, obviously just looking forward to the album here as a whole, but definitely looking forward to that one. I like Florence and the Machine a lot. And I really like that this song doesn't necessarily even just feature Florence from Florence of the Machine. It features Florence and the Machine. It sounds like a Florence and the Machine song for a lot of the song, which is really cool because I really like kind of the aesthetic of their music and Florence's music. I really liked kind of a lot of this. It had kind of a folklore vibe and kind of a midnight vibe. It was kind of like a in between kind of a thing. And we talked about folklore at length, kind of talking about like the exhaustion of being Taylor Swift in 2020 when that album released. But yeah, this one definitely sounds like she locked herself into a closet and is just kind of going through all of this kind of trauma and turmoil and turbulence and things of what it is to be her. And I think that that stands out especially kind of on the ones that she wrote by herself. Track three, My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, and Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, which I think is probably my favorite song on the album. I really like that one. It's very biting and very searing, but it does, I don't know, it doesn't ever sound like angry. The album never sounds angry. It's more like factual, I guess, and its storytelling narratives, right? Kind of all of these things, all of this love loss, all of this all of this anger and all of this being this tortured poet sort of thing there. And yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I don't know, on my first listen, I don't know that I was immediately like as hooked to it as I was Folklore or Midnights or 1989, obviously, which just has all those bangers. But kind of the more I sat with it and listened to it and kind of went through it, I was unfortunate I didn't get to listen through the whole album in my first sitting with it, but I have had a chance to go back and listen to it a couple of times now, and it's kind of one of those where the more I take it in and get the overall like vibe and aesthetic of the album, it's making a lot more sense to me musically and lyrically, and it's a good one, Michaela. It's a good one.
It's a good one. It is. Man, yeah. I mean, we could talk about it for a long time, but we shouldn't. We should let other people go and experience it. But I have to say, I really did love listening to it your way, which was turning it on, sitting in a space, allowing myself to just have the music kind of roll over me the whole time without like without having the breaks. Or getting pulled away or only listening to the singles first. I really love that. And I am so grateful to Spotify and Apple Music and all the places where you can actually go get the lyrics as well, because I am such a lyrics girl. I have always loved that. I remember poring over my dad's vinyls and seeing if they had the lyrics inside the vinyls, in like the sleeves to see if you could like understand what they were saying. Because lyrics to me are just as important as the music itself, and I was so glad that I was able to experience it that way. Yeah, no, this was good. It's a fun time. It's definitely people are going to have opinions about it. It's long. It is a long album. Even 16 songs is long. So even if you only listen to the one album, that can get a little long. But
It's 65 minutes. Yeah, the just the standard Tortured Poets Department release. So
So, but that's okay because us Swifties, we love it. We love that you can't give us too much. She can drop an album and there'll be 315 songs on it, and we'd be like, I don't know, you could do one more,
don't know. Could we get it? That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, so this was really good, and it was fun to come on and relive our Drink the Music days there, and it was worth it just to have that cocktail to go alongside of it. And very excited for it. We're actually seeing Post Malone here in like a week and a half. Michaela, we'll have to report back to everyone if he does some sort of cover of Fortnite. If Taylor gets any sort of mentions or anything at the show, we'll keep you apprised of that, and we'll definitely keep you apprised if we find out any more Taylor Swift cocktails. But that kind of wraps up that section. Let's talk about movies here for just a second. Michaela, Civil War is still leading the way at the box office. This week we have something coming out that I think we're both keen on seeing. It's probably, maybe, potentially going to have some Oscar input come the end of the year. We'll see how this year goes. But we've got Challengers, that Zendaya film, tennis, love story, sports story, drama thing coming our way. We've been seeing the trailers for this for a long time, and it's always looked like something that was going to be worth watching. And we're finally going to get to do it this week. Michaela, you looking forward to seeing Challengers?
I am looking forward to seeing Challengers. I don't really know what the hype is all about. I mean, I love Zendaya, and I think the story is going to be kind of thriller-esque, like what happens and how did it all come down? And I don't know enough about tennis in general. So I'm kind of excited about all of that. But the intrigue around it and the Oscar buzz around it is a little surprising. I don't know if it's just for Zendaya's performance or if there's something else that's going on that I'm just missing, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited to experience it because this is pretty early in the season. I mean, the Oscars were a month ago, basically. They were like 5 weeks ago, and they're
It's
already
true.
like, all right, let's line it up for next year. So that's surprising, and it's
I
telling,
mean,
right?
the presumptive Oscar favorites, Dune Part 2, has already been out for well over a month now. So I think that the cyclical, kind of Oscar release is a thing of the past. I think that is a bygone day where you have to look at only things that come out, from November on to be Oscar contenders. Just look to Everything Everywhere All at Once, which came out about this same time in the year that it won, and then just happened to keep getting released back in the theaters. So yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing that. Hopefully, we'll be able to make it out to the theater to see it here in the next week or two, because as we talked about over on our Patreon streams, this month is going to be very, very crazy, very insane for us getting to the movies and trying to keep our heads afloat. Speaking of Patreon, we were talking about that because we did our first ever hangouts on Patreon. Michaela, it was really exciting. We did a cocktail hangout with our cocktail connoisseur club. We did a movie hangout with our red carpet club. That was really, really a good time. We mixed up a cocktail and chatted all about the things we've been making and drinking and the movies we're looking forward to seeing, and just had a really good time hanging out. If you want to get information on that or like our bonus episodes, we got Ghostbusters Frozen Empire as our bonus episode for the month. You can find that on patreon.com/drinkthemovies. Last week, Michaela, we talked about Dick Tracy. That was a classic. You put like 190s movies in a row. So this week we are doing My Cousin Vinny, you know, the Marissa Tomei of it all. Looking forward to going to court with My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. we're gonna imagine that we're dears. We're gonna imagine your idea. It's gonna be great. My Cousin Vinny. It's gonna be awesome. I'm so excited. It's one of my dad's favorite films of all time too. So it's very nostalgic for me because it's like a film that's like adult enough for us to watch, but not like so adult that I'm gonna like be bashful watching it with him. And it's got not a adult, good ending.
Like Tracy. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's right. So we've got My Cousin Vinny coming this week. We have an excellent cocktail coming for that one. It's a little strange. You're gonna hear about it and then you're gonna say, is that any good? And the answer is yes. Spoiler warning. So let's do this, Michaela. We have to listen through the Tortured Poets department at least like four or five more times. We've got a bunch of salted lychee cordial left, so we can make a bunch of those cocktails. That's going to be a good time. We'll get our tickets reserved for challengers and all the rest of the stuff we have to do this month. And we'll be back to chat next week in the lobby bar. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.